And good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to the Feast of Tabernacles at Panama City Beach, and welcome to those joining us on the webcast. I want to thank all of you for welcoming my family and me to come down south here, because we're Yankees, we're from Ohio. I wanted today to tell you about one of my earliest and happiest feast memories from my childhood. What I'm about to tell you is a true story. This occurred way back in the early 1970s, nearly 50 years ago, when I was just a small boy. From my earliest recollection, my father was a member of God's church, but my mother was not. And so she reared my sister and myself in a Methodist church, going to church on Sunday morning. Dad never pushed his church at all of us. He never tried to force us to live the way that he did, but he was always a good example. And one thing that he did every autumn was to pack the whole family into the station wagon and drive us over to Pennsylvania to the Feast of Tabernacles in the Poconos. Now I'm curious, is there anyone here who remembers the feast in the Poconos of Pennsylvania? Yeah, good, I see a few hands. Okay. Well, when I said the whole family, that was Mom, that was my sister, myself, and also my aunt. We called her Auntie May. Auntie May lived alone, but she always or often joined our family for outings and always to come to the Feast of Tabernacles. Well, at the feast every morning, Dad would get up early, put on his suit, and go to services. I think he had to park cars. The rest of us would sleep in, go have a leisurely breakfast, and do something fun in the morning, but we would always hurry back to the motel so we'd be there when Dad would return from morning services. Well, it was on one of these days we were hurrying back to the motel when my mom said, "I'm going to stop at this store real quickly and just run in and get some lunch meat. I think we were going to have a picnic later. So you kids just wait here in the car with your aunt." Okay. Well, Mom was gone but a minute or two, and then Auntie May announced, "Kids, I have finished writing these postcards, and I remember seeing a mailbox up at the other end of the parking lot. So I'm just going to jog up there and mail these. Now, if your mother gets back before I am, you can tell her where I've gone." Okay, okay. So with that, she was gone. Minute or two later, here comes Mom. So we explained the situation to her. Mom listened and said, "Well, you know, kids, I wonder, maybe it might be good for me to drive the car up to the other end of the lot here by that mailbox, so poor Auntie May doesn't have to walk all the way up and all the way back." Well, my sister and I agreed. That made sense. And so that's what Mom did. She drove up to the other end of the parking lot. Now, Mom was a smart cookie, and she cautioned us. She said, "Kids, you need to keep an eye peeled out there for Auntie May, because she could be in the parking lot anywhere, and we don't want to miss her." "Okay, Mom, we'll look." We didn't see her. Sure enough, we got up to the other end of the parking lot. There was the mailbox, but no sign of Auntie May. Now what? We had missed her. Well, Mom said, "As much as I hate to suggest it, I'm fearful that if Auntie May gets back to where the car was parked and can't find us, she'll fear that we've left without her. So I'm going to suggest that maybe I turn the car around and drive back down to the other end of the parking lot." Well, my sister and I agreed that would be best. But again, Mom cautioned us, "You keep your eyes peeled, kids, because we don't want to miss Auntie May out in the parking lot there." "Okay, Mom, we'll look." And I remember Mom even stopped the car at one point, and she said, "Kids, now really, really look around. Do you see your aunt anywhere?" And so we looked. "No, Mom, we don't see her." Well, we were back down at the other end of the parking lot in no time. What now? I guess we just wait. Well, we didn't have to wait very long, because in the next minute, the passenger door was yanked open, and who should fall into the seat beside my mom? It was a breathless Auntie May. To this day, I remember the first thing out of Auntie May's mouth. It sounded something like this. I still remember the first thing Auntie May, that's what Auntie May said, but I remember the first thing that my mother said too. She said, "Why, May, you're all out of breath." Go figure, parents. And I remember the first thing out of my mouth and out of my sister's mouth. It was a giggle, maybe a snicker. Well, Mom would have none of that. "Hush up back there, you kids." Annie Mae began to tell her tale. I chased you all across the parking lot. I waved at you. I used both hands. I even jumped up and down. I thought surely you'd see me." Well, by now, there was no more giggling from the back seat. My sister and I were laughing loudly. Mom, again, right on us, "Hush up. Auntie May's been through a traumatic experience." Auntie May continued, And then, at last, you stopped. And I thought, oh, they've seen me. I got so close I could almost reach out and touch the car. But then, you sped away again." Well, by now, we were howling uncontrollably. Mom could do nothing to keep us quiet, because in the next minute, everyone in that car was laughing uncontrollably, and no one any harder than Auntie May. Now, brethren, I've told you that story today for two reasons. Number one, I think it's nice to start the feast with, something on the lighter side, maybe a little levity. But most importantly, this story illustrates a vital truth about God's festivals. So for any of you spokesmen out there, here's your SPS. God's feasts are for family. God's feasts are for family. Turn with me, please, to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 16, and we're going to read verses 13 through 15. Deuteronomy 16, starting in verse 13. "You shall observe the Feast of Tabernacles 7 days, when you have gathered from your threshing floor and from your winepress." Brethren, this is what we are doing here today and for the coming week. This is what, as a child, I saw my father doing in the Poconos. We are observing God's Feast of Tabernacles. We heard about this in detail last night from Mr. Preston. It was a wonderful message, but that's why we are here. Continuing, verse 14, "You shall rejoice in your feast." Again, like Mr. Preston, I appreciate this sign down here that says we are to be rejoicing. God commands his people to rejoice at the feast. The Hebrew word here translated rejoice means to be glad, to be merry, and to have joy. For most in God's church, the feast marks a highlight of the year, a time of happiness, a time of gladness, and for good reason. Most of us can live like kings for this week. We have second tithe. We can eat fine foods and enjoy fun and fine activities. It's a wonderful time. But now let's continue in verse 14 and look at the list of people to whom God gives this command to rejoice at his feast. It's you and your son, your daughter, your manservant, and your maidservant, and the Levite, the stranger, and the fatherless, and the widow who are within your gates. God lists all these people whom he desires to come to his feast. He throws a large net over them all to encompass everyone, the whole family. And as you brethren from Alabama might say, God says, "Y'all come, all y'all." Now you'll have to work with me, brethren. You Alabamans should be at least a little impressed that a Yankee from Ohio knows there's a difference between y'all and all y'all. And God does too. And that's what he says. Y'all come, all y'all, to my feast. "For 7 days you shall keep a sacred feast to the Lord your God in the place which the Lord chooses, because the Lord your God will bless you in all your produce and in all the works of your hand, so that you shall surely rejoice. We're called here to assemble before God and to rejoice. Now, not everyone is filled with joy by the same things. Different people have different favorites. I recall in the Poconos, my dad dearly enjoyed the nearby antique railroad. My mom enjoyed the candle shop at Memory Town. Auntie May enjoyed the ribbon factory. My sister just loved to go shopping. And for any of you sportsmen out there, I fired my first shotgun at the shooting range in the Poconos. God invites the entire family. God is building a family. It's His kingdom. And we know that this is something which this feast pictures. God says to bring the widow. Auntie May had no husband. She wasn't even part of the church. But seeds were being planted even without her knowing. Someday, she will have her opportunity to understand God's precious truth as pictured by His festivals. When my sister turned 16, she began attending Sabbath services with my father, and I would follow a few years later. But neither my mother nor Auntie May ever did. Auntie May lived to be 93. When I visited her during her final years, we still laughed together about the parking lot in the Poconos. She never really understood why we were there, but someday I believe she will. However, she did understand the importance of family, and so does God. God places great importance upon His festivals and upon His family, the family He is building. So let's remember, brethren, during the coming week, let's make this a family feast. Now, I spoke to you spokesmen a moment ago, and I'm going to do it again, because any good spokesman would say, right here, Scott, is the natural place to end this sermonette. We've come full circle. But we can't, because we still have some unfinished business. My father took something else along to the Poconos, a little envelope. It was his offering. And I suspect, I hope many of you have done the same. If anyone needs an offering envelope for the offering that will be collected here shortly, please raise your hand. You can even wave it like Auntie May did in the parking lot, and the ushers will bring you an envelope. We do ask you to please use them because it truly does assist the church in processing the offering. I hope your Bibles are still open to Deuteronomy 16 because our last verses are 16 and 17. Three times a year, all your males shall appear before the Lord your God in the place which He chooses, at the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the Feast of Weeks, and the Feast of Tabernacles. And they shall not appear before the Lord empty-handed. Every man shall give as he is able, according to the blessing of the Lord your God, which He has given you. God's work of preaching and proclaiming the gospel is funded through the tithes and offerings of His people. People outside of God's church, like my aunt, may come into contact with God's truth through preaching and proclamation efforts, which are funded by contributions like the Holy Day offering, which will be collected here today. The offering is an important part of the feast, just as is rejoicing and just as is family. While the ushers collect the offering, we will have offertory music. The offertory music is entitled Home by Andrew York. It's an instrumental piece that sets a tone of peace and safety, complementing David's closing words in Psalm 23, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. It will be presented on guitar by Mr. Scott Delamater.